Hey, what up, guys? It's Chiquis. You know, game days at my house are a whole thing. La camiseta, the snacks, la familia, all the yelling at the TV. Y claro, el outfit para la fiesta también importa. But let's talk about the family group chat, making crazy predictions before kickoff, los amigos sending voice notes after every golazo, y por supuesto, debating which player wore it best. Sign me up para esa encuesta. And when I'm on tour, I still gotta stay close to mi gente, rooting for our team, because nothing feels better than shouting gol all at the same time. Being a T-Mobile member gets me America's best network y mucho más with nonstop talk, text, and data in the U.S., Mexico, and Canada. Plus, I get awesome benefits like incredible perks every week with T-Mobile Tuesdays. Every match is better when you can celebrate every goal con tu gente. Switch to T-Mobile today at T-Mobile.com. On qualifying plans, not for extended international use, coverage not available in some areas. T-Mobile, best mobile network in the U.S. based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data 2H2025.
What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
This is Break the Case with Jennifer Coffendaffer. Inside the evidence, behind the headlines, from someone who's been there. Here now, Jennifer Coffendaffer.
True Crimers, welcome to Break the Case. I'm your host, I'm Jen Coffendaffer. Thanks for being with us this morning, 8 a.m. for the morning report. Again, we're going to be talking about Nancy Guthrie. Specifically, Nancy Guthrie was taken, abducted from her home in and around Tucson, Arizona on the 1st of February. Again, I have to preface that. That is the date that we've been given and the circumstances we've been given that she did not go to her friend's house where they gathered for church services after COVID. She stopped going to church proper. And so that was the report given. Of course, we've seen possibly a misspeak by Sheriff Nanos, the sheriff of Pima County, where this crime took place, that said he and his officers, or not he, but his officers reported by themselves before other law enforcement entities were involved on Saturday night. Doesn't make a lot of sense, since purportedly Nancy Guthrie was with her son-in-law, Tommaso, and her daughter, Annie, that evening to play games and have dinner. So nevertheless, I always have to preface that because I keep wondering if we're going to hear about, you know, any sort of call out or anything by a neighbor that maybe somebody actually went out there on Saturday or went someplace on Saturday thinking they were reporting to her house. Nevertheless, I'm going to leave it there until we get edification from the sheriff. But I am so excited about today's show because I found what I'm calling a sister case. And when I say a sister case, I mean a case that so matches in a lot of ways the facts and circumstances in this case. I was cutting this up last night with a good friend of mine. He was and still is 40 years in law enforcement. Homicide crime scene specialist, and also a behavioral analysis entity or person. We've actually had him on the show. He's a friend of the show, and we were cutting this up, and tell you what, you know, I'm such a believer in Occam's razor. Occam's razor, and this is the way, you know, really went through my career. Occam's razor, meaning the simplest solution is usually the solution. And this isn't just in law enforcement, everyone. This is used in science. This is used in medicine. That when you really follow the facts and go down the details you have, it will lead you to the solution of what is wrong or what occurred. When you stop veering off into nutty conspiracy theories and into other tracks that aren't as direct of line to the crime, oftentimes it's just a rabbit hole. Now, having said that, there are absolute outliers. And one of the biggest outliers was the Brian Koberger case, right? And Occam's razor thought process when going into the case would have been, oh, it was somebody close. It was somebody that they knew. It was somebody that they had a beef with. It was somebody that was involved in narcotic trafficking or something like that. You might go to those initial thoughts, and I'm sure law enforcement did. And then as they ruled them out, it kept moving outside. And of course, the knife sheath was the big break in that case, and it was huge. I've always said, I'm not sure Brian Koberger would have been convicted without the knife sheath. Yes, they would have had all the video imagery. They would have had all of his background, which likely they wouldn't have been able to get in a court of law. They would have had his strange behavior on the arrest. They would have had a lot of information, but without that DNA, I'm not sure they make the case. So nevertheless, we're going to talk about some Occam's razor theories in this case, and then I'm going to get to the sister case. And you're just, to me, last night, I was like, whoa, this is so similar that I need to at least consider it. Believe me, we'll get into that. So let's talk Occam's razor. Well, actually, before I do that, I want to quickly talk about these searches that are being done. I'm such a huge advocate of private citizen searching, particularly when a crime scene has been released, when search efforts by law enforcement have stopped. There's just no downside to it, kind of no downside. Listen, I was disappointed when I saw the pictures of these searchers that should know better. Everyone should have on gloves. You just should. Oftentimes, searchers find evidence of crimes that don't even have to do with the crime they're looking for. And so to touch and move things without gloves on is terrible. And to touch and move things at all is terrible. Whenever a searcher finds something, a civilian searcher, you leave it there in place. Whenever we had searchers that were involved in our cases, we certainly promoted that, but also gave some guidelines. And I know everybody's coming down on Nanos, and I always like to give law enforcement the benefit of the doubt. They're working long hours. This is very difficult. You get caught up. You can get caught up emotionally in a case, mostly with children, I will say. You know, they're just heartbreaking cases, but this is a heartbreaking case. There's no answers yet. And I know how hard they're working, and I know their intentions are good. I say that to say that this whole entire search, private search debacle, I think has been ill handled. A proper way to handle this is to have a meeting at the sheriff's office. Don't have it publicized. It didn't need to be publicized. Don't allow cameras. Don't allow cell phones in. And have your crime scene, not the sheriff, but have the crime scene expert in your department, the go-to guy, the head of your evidence response team unit, and have them address leaders from each of these search groups, from who's putting them together. Whether it's Madres Buscadoras, or whether it's some other entity that's out there, if the Cajun Navy ever comes out to help, whoever it is, and just say, listen, we highly recommend you wear gloves. If you find something you think is suspicious, such as a backpack or such as gloves, anything like that, leave it where it is. Take a photograph of it because it might take them a while to get out there, right? And a wind could come up. It could blow it from the original spot. Take a photograph where it is. Rope it off in some way. Protect it so that nobody else runs up and takes it until we can respond. That's just the simplest, easiest way to at least make sure you have some education. I understand now, in a sense, although I've never heard of it, this permitting. I don't think you need to go through a formal process. Just don't think of all that time wasted. Maybe volunteers are ready on this weekend, but can't the next weekend. Spring break is coming up, and people are going to be much more occupied with that if they have children. So all I'm saying is have a meeting like that. Pull everybody together. Let them know the expectations. And then put your officers on alert that, listen, you could be getting some phone calls. This is where, and also keeping track of the sectors, you know, that they should check in. So there's a big difference between some formal permit process and keeping track of where your searchers are working. And then that way, too, you can make sure there's no duplicate effort. In other words, if Madres Buscadoras looked at this particular quadrant, and you know that, you mark it on a big map and you're keeping track of it, then when the Cajun Navy, and I'm just pulling out names, comes in, you can say, listen, that one's been searched by them. You can go back, but this one hasn't been searched. That's how you do this. The last thing you want to do is close down any doors. And again, I don't understand why they can't search the outside of the property if they've released it. So seems like they have some questions as to whether they have really released it or not to me. But nevertheless, all these other adjoining areas and private homes that are allowing people to search, in my opinion, Pima County should be keeping track of that. I'd put one or two sheriffs in charge of it, saying, listen, make sure you're tracking where they're going. Make sure that they have a liaison to call if they have any questions, a liaison to call if they find something, and then you can directly dispatch. It's a lot of work. But that's how it should be handled. It's not being handled that way. I think it was handled wrong from the beginning because initially the permitting made it look like a big obstacle. And then secondarily, now you can't search here and just kind of putting the kibosh on it. And then one of the worst things I ever saw was a female Pima County Sheriff's Officer goes out to take the backpack. Do I think that backpack is related? We don't know. It's a possibility. And anytime there's a possibility, whether it's a probability or not, you have to handle it as evidence. If you're going to take it as evidence, handle it as evidence. She tried to stick it in a plastic bag. You never put things that could have DNA or biological evidence in plastic. It degrades. So she should have had a big paper bag that would be an evidence bag. That should be in their kits in their car. I always had a whole full-on kit, everything you could need. It was in this cool brown, you know, big box. Actually, I saw some people have that in the Idaho 4 case, and I was like, I wondered if they retired those boxes. I guess they haven't. Always had that in my trunk. And that way, when something came up unexpected, I had everything. And all these people, it's not expensive. They're plastic evidence bag, paper bags, gloves, masks, anything, tweezers, all sorts of items that we would need. I had a fingerprinting kit in there, everything that you would need for evidence collection. And again, it's not that expensive. If they're not outfitted with that, whoever is response should say, self, before I respond, I should make sure I have something to collect a backpack in, other than a plastic bag that's one third the size needed for a backpack. And then to try to stuff it in there and then throw it in the back of your trunk and something fell out of the backpack. Again, sometimes these aren't related to the case you're looking at. Sometimes they are, but it could be another crime. Why is somebody ditching their backpack? There's a lot of illegal aliens that are crossing in and around this area that could be in this area was it, you know, ditched pursuant to that? I don't know. None of us know, but it's not normal to try to ditch your backpack. You have a backpack because you have things you need and want in it on you. So I think the fact that they just found a ditched backpack, in my view, is significant. So handle it correctly. That officer needs to go back to evidence collection. They need to be remediated. You know, in the Bureau, when we had somebody that had an issue, whether it was on interviewing skills, something like that, they got talked to and they got remediated and you went over it with them again. So anyway, all right, let me get on to the case I really wanted to talk to you all about today. And I'm going to bring up this picture. Let me bring up this picture. Give me one second here. And thank you, Rockman23, for becoming a member. I want to bring up this picture right here. I want you to look at the lower right-hand side as you're looking at this picture. This woman's name, well, let me tell you about this case. This woman pictured here, and this is her family. She was 80 years old. She was at home. It was 5 o'clock in the evening when another individual who had stolen a church van, it just out of the blue, for no particular reason, broke down by this woman's house. Near enough to this woman's house that the perpetrator who stole the van could walk to this woman's house. This bad guy who had a long rap sheet for burglaries and vehicle thefts, that was what he did normally, burglaries and vehicle thefts. He went to her house to steal a car because now he had no transportation. Car he stole broke down. And he went in there. And I'm sure totally terrorized this woman because he was in there an hour. You know, we keep asking, what in the world did this perpetrator do in that house for 40 minutes, 30 minutes, whatever time frame you want to give it? Because he had to have time from when he dismantled, meaning in Nancy Guthrie's case, dismantled the Nest camera. He had to have some time there before her watch disconnected. But let's just use the figure 30 to 40 minutes because I think that that's reasonable. What did he do? That's what everybody keeps asking. What did he do in there? Well, I'm going to tell you what this guy did in this 80-year-old woman's house once he broke in. He ate some pizza. He went around the house and stole some small items. And he forced her to give him her ATM details so that he could further steal from her. Now, this is where this case took a despicable turn. A despicable turn like what happened in Nancy Guthrie's case. A guy that was just your normal burglar, not a good one, got caught all the time. Your run-of-the-mill car thief, not a good one, got caught all the time. Decided in this case, because he didn't hit a house with nobody home, he decided after spending from 5 p.m. till about 6 p.m. at night at her house, eating, terrorizing her. I can only imagine how this poor woman felt. Let me show you a picture of bad guy here. He decided to abduct her. Now, this was completely off of his. Nothing he had ever done before was abduct anyone, much less an 80-year-old woman. He then forces her to, you know, provide keys and everything. And they get in her vehicle and they depart. Now, they go on kind of a driving odyssey through multiple counties. They even cross state lines, which, you got it, made this a federal offense. They crossed state lines and went to, this all occurred in South Carolina. They went to North Carolina. Big mistake for this loser, because now you're in federal jurisdiction. So he takes this 80-year-old woman, crosses state lines, and this bungling fool got caught on video. And this happened about 5 years ago. He got caught on video having her go to the back seat. Then he goes behind, I believe it was a grocery store, and he decides it's a good idea to put his gun in the back of her head and blow her head off. By the way, he stole her gun while he was there, in addition to other items. She actually had a gun for protection against people like this guy. How did they link him to the crime? Well, a couple of things. First of all, that van that he stole had his DNA all over it, and it was abandoned near her house. Second of all, as I'm sure many of you guessed, while he's eating pizza in her house, he left his DNA on the pizza. I was wondering in this case, and I wondered it from the beginning, and I'll tell you why. It wasn't this case that made me think of this. It was actually the case of the Tate LaBianca Folger murders, Charles Manson murders. He didn't kill anybody, but he had all sorts of kind of drugged, crazed lunatics that were part of his quote-unquote family of wayward hippies go in and just brutalize these people with knives and just terrible. For those of you who have never followed those murders, those were murders I followed when I was a kid. Read books about them, Helter Skelter. Anyway, I guess I've just always been interested in crime. And what they did at the LaBianca house was, after they murdered, you know, 17, something like that. I think it was more than that. I think the stab wounds that Leslie Van Houten did was 16. But there were multiple others that other people who were there, you know, they stabbed them mercilessly, cut them all up, wrote on the walls with their blood. But then they ate. They stole their food and they ate it. They sat down and ate it after the murders. And when I thought about the long time that the person in the Nancy Guthrie, I'm calling him Porch Guy, and there might be others, still not convinced they're not others. But going back to this Occam's razor type theory, let's just say, for the purpose of this conversation, that it's Occam's razor, that truly just Porch Guy. He's just your average burglar, stumbles upon this house at this hour in the morning, decides to go in. And what is he doing there? Of course, my mind immediately went to the worst, because that's what my experience tells me when you spend that type of crime in there. Believe me, these perpetrators, they don't care whether you're 84 years old, to harm you in a very physical, disgusting way. So my mind, of course, went there. We don't know, though. There's nothing to tell us that. We know there's DNA. We know it's mixed DNA, but we don't know anything about what kind it is. And it was interesting because I saw individuals that know about DNA discussing, well, could he have opened the fridge? In other words, I think because perhaps the cold could protect the DNA. That question was asked. I thought that was interesting. And you put that all together, and I just wondered if this guy, because he spent all that time, maybe he was hungry and ate. I'm telling you, nothing would surprise me. And now I just hope the Pima County Sheriff's Office, if they saw food, they just didn't assume and not take it and have it tested. If they saw crumbs, if they saw food, Look, I've worked with local departments for 15 years, and those guys, they are just the best, and they're really great at violent crime. The ones I've worked with, But this situation, I keep wondering, were there crumbs? Were there, did this guy eat? Did porch guy eat in there? This guy ate in there. He was hungry. It's a possibility. And I just wonder if they collected the possible food, or did they just assume it was Nancy's or somebody else's or something like that. Nevertheless, I want to keep up with what happens here. So they have all this evidence from the van that connects him. And after he shoots her, they end up identifying him and issuing an arrest warrant, making it well known he's wanted. And he actually turns himself in. But within very short order, they identified him. I think it was less than 2 days they identified him. And by the third day, I believe they had him in custody. So, and this is her heartbreaking, heartbreaking case. And I just couldn't help but notice a lot of similarities. But I want to talk about the things that are absolutely not similar. First of all, one of the things that isn't similar is Miss Elvington. That was her name, Marianne Elvington. Marianne Elvington is your average middle-class grandma from an average middle-class family. She didn't have a famous daughter. And I think to overlook the fact that Savannah Guthrie is part of this case and was her daughter and was so well known would be remiss and worth $40 million. I think that would all be remiss to overlook that. Oh, I wanted to say another thing that's alike though, before I get in, there was no ransom. He wasn't wanting any ransom or wasn't sophisticated enough or didn't know how to handle it. So he wasn't going, this wasn't about ransom, which also reminds me of this case. There's been no legitimate ransom demand in this case at all. So whoever took her, money was not the reason. So that's off the table. A ransom demand is off the table. And that I found interesting in this too. Why did this guy take her, you might ask? Well, apparently he didn't know what to do with her. That's literally the reason. He didn't know what else to do with her, so he took her. So let's get back again though to the differences. Average family, let's talk about the time. Then we'll talk about the perpetrator. The time is off. The time is what I talked about earlier, saying that most burglaries take place in the day. Carjackings take place in the day. Car thefts take place in the day. Why? First of all, they want to be able to see what they're doing and what sticks out to them as being vulnerable to steal. Second of all, you can commit a lot of crimes in homes in the days because people work and they're not there. So that's why people commit crimes like this, burglaries and so forth in the day. Burglars truly don't want to get caught. They don't want anybody to see them. And that's the last thing on their mind is wanting to have a confrontation. They don't want to have a confrontation. Let's go back though to things that aren't, again, we're on what is not in line. Nobody famous, the time of day, the perpetrator. Obviously this is a black male. In the picture of porch guy is not a black male. We don't know what ethnicity he is. He could be white, could be Latin, could be Italian, could be Middle Eastern. We don't know. But we know he is not dark-skinned. There's a lot of Hispanic people, by the way, that are really dark-skinned. He does not look dark-skinned to me. So a lighter skin, like I'm a lighter-skinned Hispanic, even though I'm, you know, all but my 18th American Indian, I'm 100% Hispanic. But my family is from Spain, you know, with the blonde hair and the green eyes. So that's, you know, there's all sorts of skin color, but I think it's clear that we're not talking about a black male in that porch guy is not a black male. So that's a big difference. In addition, this guy was really a bungling idiot, right? He wasn't masked. He wasn't covered head to toe. He wasn't this guy, by the way, his name's Dominic Brandon. Dominic Brandon was not prepared to be, to confront an 80-year-old woman in this house. He thought he was just going to go in and steal her car and that there wasn't going to be a confrontation, but there was. So he wasn't masked up. And that's a big difference from this case. So I'll just keep running it down. We have not famous. We have time of day. We have not masked. And the other, another big thing here, I think, is that in this case, this was truly a crime of opportunity, meaning, but for that van that he stole previously, the church van breaking down and him being in close proximity to Miss Elvington's house, he's not going into this house. If the van stayed working, who knows where he would end up? Who knows what his ultimate destination was, but it wouldn't have been at Miss Elvington's house. So this was a horrible opportunistic type situation that circumstances put him in her house, near her house, and he wanted a car. And you add that all together, that's so different from Nancy's case. We don't know about any vehicle breaking down in that area, any happenstance or a situation that just occurred that caused this, meaning this Nancy Guthrie's house to be broken into. In Nancy Guthrie's case, in my opinion, it seems so much more purposeful, everyone. The guy's mask, he knows right where that Nest camera is. He goes and he disables it. He decides to pick those vines and dangle those in front of the camera. It's at the wee hours of the morning, everyone. 1:46 a.m. That's when the camera was disabled, right around there. Her house is offset with lots of shrubbery, and meaning Nancy's, sorry, we put Nancy back up here. With, you would have to know where you're going. She lived in a neighborhood that was a labyrinth of roads intersecting in and out, many ways to get in and out. Why did he pass up all the other houses? Hers had a camera. This seemed much more targeted than just a situation of, dang, I'm here, I need a car, I'm going to break in. He didn't steal a car in the case of Nancy. He had a car. He didn't carry her across the desert. There's a car waiting there. And I think he put her in the trunk. I think he hooded her up and put her in the trunk. This is so much more deliberate than this Occam's razor type case that I'm talking to you about. Meaning Miss Elvington's case is a true Occam's razor from the standpoint of every clue from beginning to end led to her perpetrator. The van, the DNA, the pizza with the DNA, the opportunistic situation, the person not having a mask and gloves and you know, now stumbling upon this woman, so he has to get rid of her. You see the big difference here? I'm going to bring a picture up here again. I hope I have the picture I want. I don't. Here it is. He didn't have to get rid of her. He didn't have to take her. He was covered. Yeah, I know his eyes peek out and maybe she could have reported he had that little mustache. But if this were a burglary, he didn't have to take her, everyone. The other guy had to take Miss Elvington, or he felt he did, because he didn't know what to do with her. He didn't know what to do with the witness. Drove around a while, I'm sure thinking, because we don't know. There was no background of him ever murdering anybody. Meaning Dominic Brandon, his MO was strictly to burglarize and thieve. He's just your common thief. But he murdered, shot a 80-year-old woman in the back of the head with a gun. Doesn't get much more violent than that, because he didn't know what to do with her. He didn't want to witness somebody who knew who he was. So you see the huge difference here. It's a real big difference. So many similarities, but so many things that don't match. That in fact have made me believe more than ever in my assessment that this was purposeful and targeted against Nancy Guthrie. That this wasn't a happenstance, Occam's razor type burglary gone bad. Thankfully, he was convicted. He was tried federally. In fact, his appeal just came through not too long ago. I think it was 2025. He lost his appeal. He's serving two life sentences. I don't know why. I do not know why. By the way, thank you, Shaker Maker. I do not know why that this guy didn't receive the death penalty. Likely because this really, I mean, to me, premeditation, to me, I see it as premeditated. When you decide to take her and you're thinking about killing her and then you finally put a bullet in her head, that's the point you premeditated it. But nevertheless, they didn't. And, you know, he's going to be in federal prison for the rest of his life. I think he deserved way worse than that for what he did, terrorizing this poor 80-year-old woman and leaving her family without a mother and a grandma. So that is the story of Marianne Elvington. You can see why when I first read all these facts and got the indictment and read it and interviewed somebody involved in the case, I was like, wow, so many similarities. But then when you look closely, so many things that aren't similar with the modus operandi. So I'm sticking with my belief that this was targeted, that it was a planned abduction, that this had nothing to do about money or ransom, likely had to do about with something far more worse, as I've said from the beginning. Somebody close is involved in this, or at least had insider information. Anyway, here we are, day 23. Still no Nancy. Was there food in that house that was not processed for DNA? Please, FBI, I hope you went back in and got it, if the Pima County Sheriff's Office didn't, because he did something in there for 40 minutes or about 40 minutes. And I think eating, again, back to Helter Skelter is what it reminded me of it. And then looking at this case reinforced it. He did something in there, probably something really bad, but he also might have eaten. All right, everyone. Sorry to start your day off so gloomy because it is gloomy, but listen, I think if public outrage can, you know, continue, hopefully things will change in terms of messaging. I wanted to comment here really quick. The last thing I'll say before I sign off here is that there is no reason at this point for the FBI and the Pima County Sheriff's Office not to hold a presser. They don't even have to entertain questions. All they need to say is, everyone, we know we are 3 weeks into this. Everyone, that we stand behind the fact, if they do, that everyone in the family is cleared. And they really should just have the FBI PIO read this. we don't call them PIOs, but they should have the FBI spokesperson just get up with the brass behind them. We call it the brass, right? The upper echelon, the sheriff and everybody else. Just have her get up there and say, or him, whoever it is, we support the position that the family has been cleared. We're running into issues with the DNA and we're considering other labs. We're considering how to handle that. The Range Rover either is in our possession or isn't in our possession and has been released. We're following all logical leads. Please only call in tips that are tips. Don't call in your theories. That was so mismessaged by the PIO for Pima County when she said, well, go through and make sure it's a real tip. No, no, no. They want all tips. They just don't want theories. Nobody wants theories in law enforcement. Law enforcement has their own theories based on the facts. What they want are more facts. And to waste law enforcement time is just more. Thank you so much, Marie. That is so nice of you. And I love the yellow. And I saw somebody else put up yellow hearts. I love that. Have a press conference. Let's get this under control. I understand law enforcement and particularly the FBI gives a rat's butt about social media in terms of what people are saying. They really don't. I can tell you that. Most retired FBI agents don't care what social media says. They don't even look at it. They don't even care. Most of them aren't even on it. But social media, and I've said that actually there was a show done by Paramount about 2 years ago. You guys should look for that. JLR is in it. I was in it. I think maybe Pretty Lies and Alibis were in it. Some other people were in it. And it was really good because it was good, but it just didn't take off. It was a documentary. You'll find it. It's Paramount did it. And they did a nice job. It was one of the most professional. I've done 14 documentaries, and it was one of the most professional ones I've done. It's really good. But I just don't think it was sexy enough for everybody. But basically, it talks about the power of social media. And the power of social media, anybody not understanding that yet in mainstream media and in law enforcement has got to get with the program. Because what happens in social media can really influence the case. But for social media, Gabby Petito is never found. But for social media, many clues would not be given and would not be looked into. But for social media, we wouldn't know that that individual tossed that backpack in and something fell out of it, something that could be important. But thank goodness they were there so somebody can go back on that road where she parked and pick it up in case it ends up being important. I could go on and on. I think SLUs, I think social media are the future. I think mainstream media to a large degree is petering out and streaming and other things. I mean, I'm telling you where I get my news, I go straight to X and Twitter. And because I know that's the first place I'm going to find it. Yes, do I know a lot through mainstream media because there's bulletins that mainstream media gets before anybody else gets them. So a lot I do get from that mainstream media connection that police have with mainstream media that they're not going to have with social media, maybe ever. But it needs to work in concert with one another. All right, everyone. I have droned on way too long. My 20-minute morning reports are turning into, how long was this one? Oh, good. Only 47 minutes. I told myself I'm going to keep it under 50 minutes because yesterday's was 50. Very interesting case. A lot in common, but it points me to the fact that this has enough dissimilar fact pattern that this is not a burglary gone bad, like in the case of Miss Elvington. All right, everyone. Until next time, I'm going to keep digging and May justice be served for Nancy Guthrie. Again, it's day 23. And may the Pima County Sheriff's Office get their crap together.
Want to break the case with Jennifer Coffendaffer even more? Then press subscribe right now and join Jen on YouTube. Just search Break the Case with Jennifer Coffendaffer now.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Third Love makes bras that actually fit, so they know this. If your bra feels uncomfortable, the problem isn't your body, it's your bra. Third Love designs for comfort first. Soft fabrics, support that doesn't dig, pinch, or slip. Bras that feel good and look good under everything you wear. Shop Third Love and explore over 60 sizes, including AA through H, and half cup sizes you won't find anywhere else. Get $15 off your first purchase at thirdlove.com with code PODCAST15.
Normally in these ads, you expect somebody to ask you to buy something, but this is something different. I'm Julian Barnes, and I'm a reporter for The New York Times. I'm a national security reporter, and that means I'm reporting on military operations. These are fast-paced, quickly moving situations. What exactly is happening on the ground is often shrouded in mystery, but we turn to trusted sources, satellite imagery, and expertise built up over years in order to ferret out the facts that wouldn't otherwise come to light. I'm here to ask you to seek out a news source that does firsthand fact-based reporting. If it's your local paper, great. If it's The Times, thank you. Because where you go for your information matters.
Out at McDonald's, te puedes llevar un $5 McChicken meal deal o un $6 McDouble meal deal. Así, hay algo para todos. Llévate más por tu dinero con tu meal deal. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. Solo por tiempo limitado. Precios y participación pueden variar. Precios con entrega pueden ser más altos.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. Think about your mentors and idols, the people who inspire you most. While it may look like they have all the answers, they don't. But they do know when to ask questions and seek the support they need. In a world that glorifies hyper-independence, it's easy to forget that we're all better with a support system. Therapy is a great way to find a consistent source of support in your life, so you can break free from the outdated belief that seeking help is a sign of weakness. BetterHelp has experienced therapists ready to help you with challenges, ranging from anxiety and depression to relationships and stress. It's convenient, too. You can join a session with the click of a button, helping you fit therapy into your busy life. And you deserve that. You can even send your therapist a message anytime something comes up. Build your support system with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com.
The best trips don't just take you somewhere new. They change the way you see the world. On Wayfinder Life-Changing Travel, uncover the delights of every destination across city hideaways and crystal blue shores. Sponsored by Season 2 launch partner, Fiji Airways.
When it comes to a stopover, people don't recognize the value until they actually do it. So I wanted to see how stopping off in Fiji and doing my buffer there instead of going straight back to Sydney, how that shifted me into the mentality and got me ready for going back to real life. And you know, the best cure for anxiety is feeling nurtured and calm and taken care of. And I think Fijian hospitality lends into that quite well. Fiji kind of wraps around you in a way that's warmer than everywhere else. I think it's because the culture grew up centered by community.
Listen to brand new episodes of Wayfinder Life-Changing Travel on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Any team that's tested AI tools for data has seen the pattern already. AI gives a different number than your BI tool. Metrics don't match across teams. And inevitably, users lose trust. It turns out, turning on AI is easy, but making it work on data is not. Hex AI was built to solve this. The key is nailing context. Hex is built to unify and curate your data context for agents. Data teams can observe, govern, and continuously improve every AI answer, so answers get smarter the more your team asks. The result? Your entire organization asks data questions in natural language and trusts the answers. Not because the AI got lucky, because it knows your business and its data. Because that's what an AI analytics platform should do. Join data teams from Cursor, Lovable, Ramp, AWS, and over 2,000 more at hex.ai.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com, get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey, it is Ryan Seacrest here. Want to bring a little Hollywood excitement to your day? Take a few spins with Chumba Casino's brand new game, Ryan Seacrest's 10K Ways. It's free and features 10,000 ways to play, giving you nonstop action, including thrilling bonus respins and cascading reels. Every spin brings something new, so step into the spotlight, enjoy the excitement, and play today at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Any team that's tested AI tools for data has seen the pattern already. AI gives a different number than your BI tool. Metrics don't match across teams. And inevitably, users lose trust. It turns out, turning on AI is easy, but making it work on data is not. Hex AI was built to solve this. The key is nailing context. Hex is built to unify and curate your data context for agents. Data teams can observe, govern, and continuously improve every AI answer, so answers get smarter the more your team asks. The result? Your entire organization asks data questions in natural language and trusts the answers. Not because the AI got lucky, because it knows your business and its data. Because that's what an AI analytics platform should do. Join data teams from Cursor, Lovable, Ramp, AWS, and over 2,000 more at hex.ai.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com, get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.